This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. In a moment, we'll be talking with Anne-Marie Lucas, our animal advocate. But first, Target is settling a security breach lawsuit with $10 million. Target is preparing to settle a class action lawsuit over the company's huge security breach, where hackers gained access to 40 million accounts in 2013. Court documents were filed this week in Minnesota showing the company plans to set up a $10 million fund for victims of the breach. Victims will be eligible to up to $10,000 compensation each. The claim form asks victims whether they used a credit or debit card at any U.S. Target store, including the Target.com website, between November 27th of 2013 and December 18th of 2013. It also asks if they received a breach notice or if they believe that their personal information was compromised. Many customers will likely not be able to prove they lost money due to hacker activities, and legal experts say there must be very clear proof of actual harm. In the Target settlement, victims must be able to say that they've experienced unauthorized, unreimbursed credit or debit charges, they've spent time addressing those charges, or they've been hit with higher interest rates or fees on their accounts, among other things. PETA's shelter in Virginia puts down over 80% of the animals in its care. PETA took in 3,017 animals in 2014. Of those, just 162 were adopted, while 2,455 were euthanized. The rate is so high that state lawmakers in Virginia passed a bill to redefine a private animal shelter as operating for the purpose of finding permanent adoptive homes. She's here each week as our animal advocate. We're happy to have back Anne-Marie Lucas. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I am terrific, and you've got some interesting advice now for people who are considering donating to the many, many animal organizations out there. Some are better than others, right?
Yeah, it seems like we're being bombarded every day with pamphlets in the mail of please donate to this humane group, and you see advertisements on TV, please donate, send $18 a month and donate to this rescue group or humane organization. And I know this more than anyone because I was on a lot of those ads for many, many years for the ASPCA, which is one of the largest animal organizations out there. So I wanted to break it down for people because it's very confusing who to donate to, what groups do, and perhaps rethink who you're sending your money to. And the first advice I'm going to give you is to do your research. Always do your research, because I had this woman I was speaking to the other day, and she's an 80-year-old woman, and a lot of these groups target the elderly, unfortunately, because the elderly, as we get older, you know, we start to feel sorry for everyone, and we, you know, we're giving our money away, not really knowing who, where our money is going. And this woman, bless her heart, was giving money out to rescue groups who were just sending her pamphlets, and she had no idea who they were or what they did or where they even were. She didn't even know the name of the organization. She just saw a picture of a dog, an adorable little puppy, and she said, oh, I'm going to send them money.
Was she sending it to a disreputable organization?
Well, no. I mean, all of these organizations, the big two, I call them, the Humane Society of the United States and the ASPCA. These are the two largest. She was sending it to the Humane Society of the United States. And a lot of people get confused because they relate the Humane Society of the United States and the ASPCA with their local Humane Society or SPCA. None of them are related. Every county or every state, every city has a local rescue group, humane organization, or SPCA. They might have a town shelter or a city shelter. And these are the things that you need to know for your area. Like in Putnam County, where I live, we have a local humane society. We also have an SPCA. The SPCA officers are the ones who go out and investigate animal cruelty, but they don't run a shelter. In other parts of the country, the SPCA are the ones who actually run the shelters, and they also have humane officers who go out and do investigations, but they also might have a humane society as well in their town. They might have another local rescue group. It is so complicated that my advice to everyone is to really understand who is doing what and to donate locally if you can do that first. I'm not saying not to donate to the big two or any other organizations out there that you believe in. There's also, you know, the World Wildlife Fund, and they do conservation and endangered species. There's the American Humane Association. There's Best Friends in Utah. That's a very large sanctuary for tons of animals. So, I mean, I think a just really understanding what each group does and understanding where your money goes. A lot of these local groups don't have the advertising budget that the big two have, or these other groups. So they really need your money, your local SPCA or your local Humane Society.
Well, now, of course, you were on a nationally televised commercial with Sarah McLachlan, right?
Yes. Oh, for years I did that, yeah. And that made a lot of money for the organization, for the ASPCA. And, you know, it would be hypocritical of me to say not to send money to these groups, because I solicited for them for years. And at the time, I totally believed in what I was doing, because at the time, I was in law enforcement for the ASPCA, and we were doing great work. We had a TV show where people could see what we were doing every day, but we did it regardless of that. We'd been doing it for 140 years, and I had been doing it for many years before we came on TV. But the ASPCA no longer has law enforcement. They disbanded their law enforcement department completely. So now they are doing other things. So that's something you might want to consider before giving to a group that you thought was doing one thing, and they've moved on and they're doing something else. Not that they're not doing good work, they're just doing something differently now. They've changed direction. And there's also groups out there, like watchdog groups. One is called Charity Navigator, who grades each of the Humane Societies out there, the Humane groups. And recently, the Humane Society of the United States was downgraded. And that's something that, you know, there are conflicting views about that, and there's a whole big fight in the animal world about why were they downgraded, where's the money going. So that's why I always recommend, if you have a choice, start locally. Because you know what? You can actually go to the local shelter and see what they're doing. You can get their numbers. How many dogs and cats did you rescue? How many horses did you rescue? You might like hedgehogs and want to give to a hedgehog rescue. But these are things, it should be something that's passionate to you and something that you understand where your money is going. Just be a informed consumer or donator in this case.
And not all shelters are equal either. I mean, there's no kill shelters, and there's other shelters that after a certain amount of time euthanize the animals.
That's a great point, Mike. You know, and a lot of those shelters that euthanize are related to the city or the county, and they're run by the city or the county, and they're usually the last on the budget line to get money. They're the first budget to get cut, and this is why animals are coming in, and there's no money to build a bigger shelter or to feed the animals when they come in, and there's no space. So a lot of animals are getting euthanized for space, and that's why you also have to check what's going on in your own community. Some shelters can be picky about which animals come into their shelter. Other shelters are mandated by their city or a town to take in everything, because that's the function, and that's when those animals get euthanized. In those cases, you should go to your legislatures and say, hey, enough with the euthanizing all of these animals that are coming in. Let's put more money into the budget, or figure out how we can save more animals instead of euthanizing them as a solution.
Well, of course, there's space limitations, right? I mean, what happens if they're taking in more animals than they can adopt out?
Yeah, I mean, that's an issue. And what's happening nowadays is a lot of private shelters are going into cities and pulling animals out. A lot of rescue groups are going into the towns that have those high kill numbers, and they're pulling them out. But that's causing issues, too, because then you have people end up with tons of dogs in their houses or in their rescue group, and they don't have the funding to then take care of all these animals. They're trying to do the right thing, but they don't have the money to take care of these animals. And that's where the big two organizations should probably kick in and help out, because they seem to be getting all of the money coming in from the donations across the country. And I'm not saying they don't, but I think they can do more to help local shelters stop the euthanasia issue epidemic that's going on across this country. And that's also spay and neutering your own pets, you know, not letting them, you know, run free and impregnate every, you know, dog or cat in the neighborhood. I mean, I think people have to take personal responsibility for their animals, and also for not making unwanted, you know, more unwanted puppies and kittens out there.
All right, let's talk about your pet tip of the week. This is all about antlers, and this is new to me, so tell everybody.
Yeah, so the hot new item for dogs is to chew on naturally shed deer antlers. We have white-tailed deer in the Northeast, and every winter they shed their antlers. And there are people who will go out there, and companies who go out there, and they take all of the antlers that are naturally shed, and they give them to dogs, and they make wonderful, long-lasting bones. These are antlers are actually bones. They're bones, you know, naturally shed from deer every year, so it's not a cruelty issue if you're worried about that. They're not, you know, forcibly taking the antlers from the deer. They naturally shed them. My dogs love them. They come in all different sizes. You can order them online. A lot of pet stores have them now. I know the big pet stores have them now. Local pet stores will have them. They are a little pricey, and that's why some people buy them in bulk. You can buy them on through companies like, you know, Jeffers Pet, like I talked about before, Dr. Foster's and Smith, Pet Edge, all of the catalogs out there. They sell them at more of a discounted rate. But, you know, if you have one dog and it costs $20 for this bone, this naturally shed antler, it's definitely worth it. It keeps your dog busy for a very, very long time, and they love it.
Or you could just go out in your backyard and I'm sure find some deer antlers that have been shed, right?
Exactly. I told my husband, we're going on an antler hunt this year, for sure. We have so many dogs, it costs a fortune to keep them all in antlers.
Well, Anne-Marie, that's great advice, both on the charity side as to where your money goes when you donate, and also on the antlers for your pet to chew on.
Thanks, Mike. That was fun.
That's our animal advocate, Anne-Marie Lucas. I'm Mike Bennett, and you're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
If you were offered a bucket of chicken, would you plead guilty to murder? This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. The details of how and why Terry Durham committed murder are not in question. The interesting aspect of Durham's case is how and why he decided to plead guilty. Having been in jail before, Durham knew how bad the food was in prison. After turning down several plea bargains to the charge of murder, Durham came up with one of his own. He agreed to plead guilty in exchange for a week's worth of Kentucky Fried Chicken, coleslaw, and mashed potatoes. So, did the prosecution agree to this bizarre plea bargain? The final verdict after this. So, did the prosecution agree to supply Kentucky Fried Chicken in exchange for a guilty plea? Of course they did. Compared to the cost of a full trial, a few buckets of KFC is chicken feed. And that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Are you successful in sales? Would you like to be? So here's today's question. How many calls does it take to close a sale? Here's the social science of it. The truth of it is that everyone is in sales. They may not realize it, but every job requires some ability to sell, either a product, service, knowledge, or even yourself. So researchers pose the question, how many calls does it take to close a sale? The answer, it ranged between 7 to 13 conversations before a new client went with your service. And don't take existing customers for granted. To get them to renew can take a minimum of 3 calls. What's the cheap psychological trick? If you're mastering a sales career, learn it and live it every day. Never give up. Never surrender. You can drop me a line at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.